What the fuck is up, duelists? Welcome to Pot of Greed, the world's number one and only Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. We are, as always, sponsored by Kaiba Corp, and I am your host, Argyle, a.k.a. Bruno Bicarotti.
I'm Max, and my lawyers have advised me not to talk about Bruno.
I'm Dan, and I'm an autistic amnesiac.
I'm Sarah, and fuck it, I'll talk about Bruno.
Sarah, good to have you back in the studio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sarah, and this is the first episode of season two that I watched.
Yeah. And
it was
how
16 episodes in.
How nice it is that it reminded you of every single thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, I honestly, like, listen, listeners, I've been working in the costume mines. I've been very deep in the costume mines. Mm-hmm. Some might even call it the repetitive straight injury factory. So it was very, very kind of the gang to, like, bully me back on for an episode that specifically recapped everything that happened. Okay, do you want me to tell you what I have learned about Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I guess is just recapping the episode. So this is Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Nuts episode 79 / season 2 episode 15, and I didn't actually write down the title.
Let me see. Let me pop it open. I didn't write it down either.
Well, I did. It's in the sub. It's called To the Unseen World.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrote that down because I wrote down that Yusei is going to go to the new world.
Yeah.
The new world.
He's going to become a colonizer.
Of dueling. Okay. But so I got four main bullet points.
Yes.
That I learned about what Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D Season 2 is like now.
Dub title. Season 2, episode 15, putting it all together, because
whatever.
So, point number one that happened in season 2 is Ghost in the Shell happens.
That's right.
Point number two, there's a bitchy French lady.
Yes!
Point number three, which I guess is kind of plot irrelevant, Iliaster still exists and is up to nonsense.
Oh, Iliaster extremely exists.
Yeah. And then point number four is they go on about XL Synchro a lot. I'm guessing that's important.
Yeah, if you break the speed limit, you get extra good at, you get extra points at dueling.
XL Synchro is so fucking, basically, Sarah, it's so fucking cool. It's you can summon during your opponent's turn. It's really awesome.
Uh-huh.
Cool. And then my sort of fifth, not exactly a point, but I did note that during the clip show episode, Aki was not featured at all.
Right.
Yeah, which is, I will say, that's surprising considering she actually has had a lot of focus in the last couple of episodes because she knows how to drive now.
Yeah,
she passed her test.
Yeah, she got motivated to learn to drive and then went to driving school. It was great.
And she wore a jumpsuit that had her breasting extremely boobily.
Yeah, kids.
Oh, okay.
Four kids erased her cleavage, so she's just got like a mono boob.
Yeah,
so sad.
When I say she's breast boobily, like way, way more tittage than you could possibly imagine. Think about how much you think there would be, and then there's more.
Okay, I'm rotating her boobs in my mind.
Yeah, just like the wheel.
Just like the wheel.
Yeah. So this first one's a clip show, and so it's not gonna. I mean, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about it because it's, as far as clip shows go, it's decently well done in that it actually is like kind of a new episode and that it reframes everything that happens as part of the clip show. It's not completely useless, I will say, which is like more than Jack and Crow can say.
Yeah, I got another, because, okay, the other thing that I really enjoyed from the clip show is that the cold open of the clip show establishes that Jack, Yusei, and Crow live in the friend's house together now.
They live, so yeah, Jack, Yusei, and Crow basically live in the basement of the shop is called Popo Time. I don't know if it's like specifically like a watch repair shop or what. I forget if they said that or not. But yeah, no, basically they hang out in the basement of that where they work on their bike.
That's pretty cool. I also did enjoy the like establishing thing of how Yusei and Crow seem to have like monetizable mechanic skills and Jack is just there.
Yeah, oh, again, that's another huge plot point too, because they need to make money for this World Race Grand Prix, but they refuse to take on a sponsorship because they have integrity. But unfortunately, Jack has zero skills. His resume is a blank sheet of paper, so he just spends money and doesn't make any money, and Crow doesn't like it.
Yeah, pretty good. very much enjoying it.
Crow is like a courier, and Yusei just does odd jobs, pretty much.
Yeah, a lot of mechanic stuff.
You know, they can drive bikes and fix bikes. Those are two wonderfully useful skills.
Those are arguably two of the best skills to have in this kind of world.
Yeah, driving bikes, fixing bikes, pretty good.
And also, you'd think that since they, like, saved the city and got rid of wealth inequality, that they would, you know, be a little bit better off. I suppose not.
I guess that Jack is jobless because they sort of dismantled the power structure that he was part of that controlled the city. So, like... Uh-huh. He really did this to himself, technically.
Right, uh-huh. And you saying it that way makes it seem like it's a lot more commentary than the show gives.
Oh, yeah, no. He's just a silly guy.
Jack's skills do involve metalworking, I guess.
Apparently.
If we can call it that.
He picked up a welder.
He's made an absolute dog shit set of table and chairs.
Yeah, listen, I can set better rivets than this. That's what I've been learning at the Repetitive Strain Injury Factory.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the thing that happens is that Jack built some tables and chairs for the friend's house, I guess. And then when Crow sits down on the chair, like, it collapses and the tables collapse. Which means that the first half of the clip show is just them lying on the floor. Which is
really cool. And Jack doesn't spill a fucking drop of his coffee.
Uh-huh. Yes! I noticed
that. It's so great.
I noticed that because, like, they were lying on the floor and Jack does, like, a weird little crunch at one point. I'm like, what is he doing? He's sipping his tea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he loves fucking great.
He loves his, like, Blue Eyes coffee.
Blue Eyes Mountain coffee.
Yeah.
It's really, we get a very cute gag of he's doing it to save money, you know, by drinking coffee at home instead of at Cafe Guin across the street. So we see the waitress who's obsessed with him is, like, crying that he doesn't visit anymore.
So uh-huh. this was, like, a thing from a previous episode. That like,
yeah, Jack, yeah, spent, yeah. 30, Jack spent $30 on a cup of coffee, and it was really bad.
I love
the coffee. The coffee was good. The situation was bad. But basically, Crow and Jack are feeling inadequate, and the sort of whole impetus of this clip show is that they reflect on all the troubles they've been through and how they just haven't really been of help to Yusei, and they're just useless boys.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of this episode is like, oh, well, Yusei is gonna go and save the world by himself, and they are just kind of going after him, being like, no, Yusei, don't do it, haha.
You say it's not called 1D, it's called 5Ds.
There's 5 whole Ds, you say.
Yeah.
yeah, you say he's just like riding on, he's just riding on the highway, you know, getting clearing his head, getting some fresh air. The first big recap scene we see is when you say defeated Godwin at the end of the last season, and they fix the city. And
they very helpfully start the clip show with stuff that I was there for to like help orientate me.
Right. Thank you clip show. In order to remember things that you haven't remembered, you need to first remember things that you remember.
You gotta, you know, when you're, like, repairing something, you gotta just, like, take yourself down to stable ground before you can build on it.
The engine keeps score.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
This is gonna be a short podcast episode, too, because there's very little to talk about here, of course. You know, the part of the first bit is Yusei being really sad that it's his dad's fault that moment happened, but then everyone's like, but Yusei, if none of that happened, then we wouldn't be friends, and you can't, sins of the father doesn't apply to you, buddy. And they're like, oh man, he couldn't tell us of his burden because of all that darkness in his heart. We're a burden to him now because we can't do anything for him.
That's wrong.
Wrong. Extremely loud incorrect buzzer. It's Jack says, I'll admit, Yusei's the only person that changed my life. He's my only rival. And Crow is like, what about me? Hello? And Jack turns to him and says, you're an entertaining teammate.
What about me? Thank you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I do have to note, which will be important in like two clips time, I have to note that this time I watched the dub. Because I was using a Crunchyroll app on my tablet and it was like weird to navigate, and I'm based in the UK and maybe the just sub isn't there on UK Crunchyroll, but we'll I could not find the sub.
I think it's just really hard to find, because it took me a fucking while to find it too. It is not where it says it is, and I had to like manually search the episode subbed on Crunchyroll, which took me to like almost a secret menu within 5Ds on Crunchyroll that has the rest of the sub.
Damn.
You got up. Jack Atlas animal style.
Yeah. To be fair, yeah, so I got our good friend him. Wait, what's his name? Ted. Change that. I got our good friend Ted.
Ted Lewis?
Ted Lewis.
Yeah, our good friend Ted. So yeah, I got to appreciate our good friend Ted, and I also got to appreciate is her name Sherry?
Her name is Sherry LeBlanc, and she's from France, if you couldn't tell.
Uh-huh.
She's fucking incredible.
Oh, she's so fucking cool. She kicks ass.
I need to figure out what she is in, or find out what she is in the sub, but like, so far, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this at length, but I am so impressed at like this actress for committing so hard to the bit.
Of the accent.
Yeah, like, and because she does like a whole speech in the clip, and she does like the whole speech like in this consistently outrageous French accent, which is like, it's not an accent that any French person has.
It's an American's idea of a French accent,
but it's it is perfectly consistent the whole way through, and like fully just like turned up to 100% the whole way through. And
damn,
yeah,
this is the first character in the 5D's dub to have a consistent accent. I can tell you for the sub, she just has like a very nice like. Not husky, just like a deep voice. She's fucking sick as hell. We love her.
She's got French smoker voice.
Yeah, and and she still is called Sherry LeBlanc. That's just her name.
Très bien.
So you see, when you say fought Ghost and Mechlord Emperor Wyzell, the whole deal with these Iliaster guys is that they have these like combiner monsters that can suck up synchros, essentially.
So, clarifying question. Ghost is like a dueling bot?
Ghost is a robot that is being controlled by Placido of the Iliaster group.
A.K.A. Okay. No Lester or time. Possibly Primo.
Primo. Cool. Ghost is Placido is Primo. Lester is Luciano, and Jose is Jacob.
Jacob. With a K.
With a K. Very important. Which is John Cena's name in the Fast and Furious movies.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Very important.
Yeah. So they eventually catch up to Yusei after this second flashback. He's like on top of the Domino Space Needle. And they're chatting. They're kind of hashing it out. You know, Yusei guesses that Iliaster is the one who's controlling Ghost because he remembers that Rudger from season one met a man from Iliaster. And, you know, Jack knows Iliaster to be the Dualuminati. And the Dualuminati.
Dualuminati, pretty good.
Pretty good. And, you know, Iliaster is the one who kind of pushed Rudger and Godwin to cause Zero Reverse. Sherry knows about them too, you know, as we can say.
Oh, yeah, I did see some Sherry backstory.
This is fun, Sarah. So you see the backstory of her, like, you know, kind of escaping with her butler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in the sub, you see your parents, like, bleed out, and they're, like, running from bullets.
Ah, ha-ha.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. I see. They had to cut a lot out of Sherry's backstory on the Four Kids end.
Oh, really? I'm going to have to go back and probably watch this up.
It's good.
Looking forward to it.
Also, you get to see Sherry's deck, which is, like, flower horse knights. It's
okay.
They're cool, yeah.
Kind of a Rose Gundam one?
Kind of a Rose Gundam, and they're all French. Uh-huh.
Très bien.
Très bien. She has a butler who has a Bentley motorcycle.
Yeah, it's fucking sick. His D-wheel is kick ass. So is hers too. It's like a rope. It's like the Master Cycle Zero from Breath of the Wild. It's like a robot horse.
Yeah.
So we get our third major flashback here. Yusei thinks back to when Visor taught him how to do XL synchro. A world beyond the limits of speed, the unseen world. So Yusei's whole thing ever since that moment is like, fuck, I gotta learn how to do XL synchro now so I can defeat the Illuminati. And he hasn't figured it out yet. Uh-huh. And I guess part of the reason is that, like, his bike physically can't go fast enough to do Axel Synchro.
Yeah, he needs some strange boy to come and program his bike to go faster.
He needs a man with blue hair and pronouns to fix him.
Yeah, yeah. We all need a man with blue hair and pronouns to fix us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is kind of a Johan moment.
I was gonna say, like, is this somehow Johan 30? And he's not.
It's very Johan-esque.
We'll go into how he's Johan-coded next episode
he's
summary.
He's giving Johan.
He's giving.
And yeah, the very last thing we see in this episode is Johan 2 washing up on the beach.
Yeah, there's a beach boy.
Beach boy. Oh,
I did think this was Kiryu for a second, because I kind of, A, forgot what Kiryu looks like, and that boy did have blue hair, right?
He had white hair.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess he was kind of in blue lighting a lot.
It was, it's just like a very pale, his hair is the color of a Blue-Eyes White Dragon.
Okay.
It's a very light blue.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is just some beach boy, and then the episode ends.
Yeah. Who could it be?
5 G's?
I'd love to.
Oh, absolutely.
I've missed hearing my friends talk about the video games that they've been playing so much. You know, I used to know so much about video games, and now, like, people talk about, like, oh, Hellraisers. What the fuck is Hellraisers? Helldivers? I don't know what that is.
Oh,
I don't have my co-host to tell me about what video games are, like, happening this month. Mm-hmm. What video games are happening this month?
No one's here to tell you what video games are.
Okay, you mind if I double dip to tell you about a video game?
Yes, please!
All right. To answer your question, Helldivers 2, it is a third-person shooter developed by the developers for the Magicka series. Those are, like, top-down twin-stick shooters, but this one's, like, this one is a fucking third-person shooter. It's a Starship Troopers type of game. It's like the far future. It's a fascist empire Earth, and they are claiming the galaxy, but they have to fight two warring factions. There are the Terminids, aka they're like the Tyranids from 40K. They are bugs. There's a lot of them. You gotta shoot a lot of bugs. They used to be cattle, but something went wrong. They used to be cattle in that they were livestock. They fucking harvest these things for oil. The others are the automatons, which are robots built by a generation of cyborgs. They're cool. It's sort of like, you know, it's like a whole part of it is like, this is a horrible, like, dystopia comedy thing. There's all these fucking things, like, there's, stratagems, which are, you open up a menu and you, like, mash some buttons, like a fighting game input, the big ship you came down from will, like, drop a bomb or a weapon or a turret or something. It's kind of difficult. One of your major mechanics is diving. You can, like, jump away from someone.
Oh, diving, like, from hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
It's a fun game. It's a little confusing, it's a little messy, but I think it's a pretty solid game. Part of it is, like, a communal aspect where, like, all these people are, like, working towards a certain goal that that the dev team, like, set out for them to accomplish. It's neat. They added mechs recently.
Neato.
So that's Helldivers 2. Now I'll get into the other dip. Of the double dip. I beat Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth!
Oh, let's fucking go.
It fucking rules.
You have infinite wealth now.
Yeah, Ichiban set out to Hawaii on his big adventure. And also Kiryu was there. And Kiryu does stuff in Japan that's cool. It's another one of the RGG titles. It's really funny. It's got a really cool like map and setting. They put a side game called Dondoko Island in it, and it's just Animal Crossing. They put a second game in the game.
It's
fucking great.
There's the Tsujimon League, which is like a sort of like a more simplified version of Pokemon, where when Ichiban fights a guy, sometimes he can get them to like join his army of men that he can build up in stats, so he can fight the Discreet Four.
Discreet Four.
It's great. It's funny.
It's really good. There's a lot of fun some sub stories. There's a really fun. They bring back like a fight from the previous game, which was there's this like scientist builds a giant Roomba to clean the streets, but it goes haywire. They put a new version of the fight in there, and it has an irresponsibly sick boss fight theme. It rules.
Mm-hmm. Kicks ass.
Yeah. It's got a great story. I put like 120 hours into it. It was a lot of fun, and I'd highly recommend it. Might be my game of the year.
It's only March.
Yeah, it's only March.
There's more games.
It's your game of the financial year 2023-24.
Game of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
Game of the fiscal year. Max, what have you been playing?
Oh my god, holy fucking Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Cars,
Cloud Segway Adventure.
My god. It's like... I was playing it last week too, and I was just as excited. Honestly, I was probably less excited last week, because there's just more. It just keeps happening. There's just more and more and more like that there's in this fucking game. I'm like 60-something hours in. I'm a decent ways through. I'm like 2/3 of the way through. Maybe a little bit more than that. Like 3/4, maybe. Oh my god. It is... I can't believe it. I can't believe how fun this is. There's no bad parts. It's fucked up. There's so many mini games. They basically do every single mini game from the original 7, and like they bring back all the mini games from Remake, and just everything is expanded. Nothing feels like it's overdone. It doesn't feel like over bloated or like, oh, they didn't need to bring this back. They just like expand things in ways that make it so fun. Like, for example, the cargo ship that you take from Junon to Costa del Sol, it's just like you're on a cargo ship for a little while and you do a boss fight in the original game. In this, it's like a fucking cruise ship and you do a Yu-Gi-Oh card game tournament on it, and like monsters attack the boat and you get to do that boss fight still, and it's really cool. It's just like, it feels like the game just kind of like, it's like one of those dinosaur grow capsules you put in water. That's like what it is. It's just like the original game, but there's like more, so you can just see all the details and everything, all the environments are crafted. And I talked about the music last time too. Oh my god, this soundtrack, it's on a different fucking level. I mean, for every remix of an old song from the original Final Fantasy VII, there are new songs that just go unreasonably hard. Like, you climb Mount Corel, and it's this really, it's a very inspiring, triumphant, uplifting kind of pseudo, sort of electronic-ish theme as you're climbing it. And you get into a battle, and it plays like fucking drum and bass, like,
oh, hell
almost
yeah,
breakbeat when you fight. It's insane. And the combat, oh my god. I mean, Remake was fun, right? You get Cloud, you get Barret, Tifa, Aerith. This, you get to play as Red 13. You get to play as Yuffie. You get to play as Ketchi, who's like way more fun than he was in the original 7. Like, he still has all these luck based attacks, but like there's ways to like make your luck get really, really high. And he's like so much more fun to play as, because you get to do like drop kicks as the Moogle actively and stuff. my current, I haven't unlocked like full party switching yet. Like I still have to have Cloud as my leader. I think you can, I'm pretty sure you can not have Cloud as your leader later on at some point.
Get him out of here.
But like it's Cloud, Yuffie, and Red. And just like, oh, it's just so active and dynamic. You get all these crazy moves and it just feels like there's such a higher level of complexity in the battles because you just have so many more tools at your disposal. And because of that, the game, the game demands a lot more of you. There's like some pretty difficult challenges here and there. I haven't like super been stuck on many boss fights. It's more of like there are some really hard mini games that kick my ass that I have trouble with. It's like, yeah, I can fight the fucking the terror of the deep under Junon. Ask me to perfect a song on the piano? Fuck that. It's hard.
This one's hard.
This one's really hard. I spent like an hour and a half doing freaking Glide de Chocobo in Cosmo Canyon yesterday because like it's hard. It's one of those things that you don't have to do it perfectly, but I want to do it perfectly, so I have to do it perfectly, like to me.
Yeah.
It's rewarding though. It's great. The voice acting is good. Everything is just so freaking good about this game. I'm having a fantastic time with it.
A final fantastic time.
A finally Excellent. Fantastic time. Why is it called Final Fantasy if there's 16 of them? There's like seven.
Maybe more.
There's a lot of these freaking ones.
It will go onwards and upwards, you know?
Onwards and upwards.
You know what I've been thinking about?
Yeah, I'm thinking about recently. Sarah.
Is our wonderful $10 patrons, I want to give a big special wet fancy shout out to Danielle Kalaskas, Dylan Aris, Jazz Dumpster, Kether Teradan, Maggie Rice, Nero Wyvern, Pagliacci Protege, Quatre, Quatre, Sabrina Steele, Sarvis, and Soled Snag. There were some new ones on that list that I was not expecting.
Yeah,
thank you to everyone.
That was a very wet thank you. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much for your tens of dollars.
Positively dripping. Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Episode 80, The Mysterious Super Mechanic.
The Super Genius.
Yeah, the Super Genius.
I'm just dumb crazy, huh? Well, he does.
What happened to you?
I got a tablet.
It's the right decision.
I'm undergoing boomerfication.
No, Sarah, your font size is too big.
I have to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Online. Instead of 2x speed, it's on like 0.5 speed.
You gotta put your fucking readers on.
Yeah. Okay, so has anyone ever had this experience where you move out of your parents' house, probably to go to college in the scenario that I'm about to describe? And you've gone to college and you've been there for like maybe a few months and then your parents kind of come and visit you and they make extra sure to like take you and your friends out to like a nice dinner because they're very concerned that you aren't able to feed yourself properly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that happens to Jack and
this
Crow
is
and
so Jason. Funny. Ushio and Mikage take them out to dinner because they need to like foist a favor upon them.
Uh-huh.
But like this is the first proper meal these boys have had in so long. And like Yusei and Jack are trying to be stalwart, like, no, we can't eat this, because if we eat it, that means we have to accept whatever they're gonna ask us. And Crow's like, fuck you guys, I'm eating this delicious steak.
Yeah.
It's so good. And like, the favor that they're asking is kind of insane to me. Like
Hey, we found this boy. Can he be good with you guys?
We found a boy on the beach who doesn't remember anything, and we understand that you're, like, living in someone else's basement and, like, have no money. Can you take care of an amnesiac for us? Also, we work for the government. What? What are you talking about?
Okay, fuck no.
And
also, like, Ushio and... Fuck, what's her name? Blue Hair. I've been referring to her as Blue Hair for too long, and now I don't know.
Yeah,
her
no,
anymore.
She's Blue Hair in pronouns. She's but, Mina in the
Okay,
in
but,
the,
but now there's another Blue Hair in pronouns guy.
I know. Well, he's Bruno, but we can't talk about him.
Bruno Hair in pronouns. Yeah,
Brew Hair, no pronouns.
Yeah, but like her and Ushio they're giving like couple vibes, and I'm like, did this show ever like try and get them together, or are they just hanging
out?
Are they just co-workers?
It's one sided.
What's going on?
It's one sided. Ushio is like in love with Mikage, but she doesn't really care for him. She's in love with Jack.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. I knew there was
something. And he's in love with Carly. There's it's a classic love triangle.
Carly's a lesbian. Yeah.
Yeah, and then like Aki likes Yusei, but maybe Aki likes Sherry. I don't know. It's a lot. There's a very funny line where at one point, Ushio straight up calls out Crow. He says, "Crow, you're going to refuse after eating this high quality steak?" It's good. And the boy never showed up in the first place. So the boys are off the hook.
Yeah.
They walk into the parking garage and they find this kid who's fiddling with Jack's D-wheel. So he just runs up and just like fucking clocks him.
He says, "I eat little bugs like you for breakfast."
You eat bugs for breakfast?
Oh.
He says, "What in the deuce?" For you
guys. What in the deuce?
Yeah, yeah, he says, "What in the deuce? I eat little bugs like you for breakfast." It's
he
like,
says,
yeah.
"What in the deuce?" pushes him to the ground and then leaves.
He just drives off.
And like, oh, it's so funny. Mikage and Ushio are walking back too, and they're like, "Oh, wait, that's Bruno. He's the amnesiac." And like, he's like, "I just wanted to clean up. I just wanted to fix up the D-wheels." And then Jack drives by, grabs Bruno, pulls him into his D-wheel, and drives off with him.
Yeah.
Kidnaps him.
You can't,
like, just
you can't abduct
nowhere.
An amnesiac, Jack. That's like a lot of crimes at once, dog.
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
You can't do all of that together.
Like, because they sort of get him back to their, like, I guess friend's basement.
It's like specifically Martha's friend's basement. Yeah. It's like friend of a friend type vibes.
Yeah, they gotta pay the rent though.
I have the line written down because I presumably think Jack like throws him to the ground and demands to know like what the fuck is going on, and Bruno just says, "Please, let's not do this. I think I'm a pacifist."
Yeah,
he's like, he doesn't.
I think I remember not fighting.
I think maybe that I'm a pacifist, which really tickled me.
Uh-huh.
When they get back, Jack is like, you little fucking worm, what did you do to my Wheel of Fortune? It has more power now. Huh?
He's like so mad his bike is better.
Yeah, he just did some very simple ECU tuning, and Yusei's like, "Oh shit, you're my best friend now, let's work on bikes together."
He has someone to talk about his special interest with.
The first thing he does is explain to the boys, like, "Oh, you know, I mess with your boost timing, and I could do this for all of your bikes, and it'll make all of them baseline faster." He's Bruno. He finally introduces himself.
Sorry, guys, we are going to talk about Bruno.
He's Bruno, and he knows bikes, and that's it.
He also knows computers, which I guess are part of bikes in this universe.
Right, yeah, the computer is the brain of the bike.
He's a mechanical engineer.
He's also a duelist too.
He's also good at cards
because, you know, he's the character in a Yu-Gi-Oh show.
Yeah. There proceeds to be about like 5 to 10 minutes of like pure like bike and computers jargon.
They're just saying words.
Honestly, like I'm kind of impressed at how the jargon seems to make more sense than it usually does.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
You are turning into a boomer.
No, I just like I sort of you sort of pay attention and they say the word solenoid and I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
Yeah, they can't say they're fucking our pussy, so they gotta actually explain things, you know.
They're
banishing our graveyard.
Yeah.
Yusei and Bruno stay up all night working on this engine. Yusei shows him a diagram of like the engine he wants to build. It's like this, you know, sort of weird radial design. Basically, this is the thing that's going to allow him to A, kick ass at the WRGP, and B, go fast enough that he can Axel Synchro and beat the Mech Lord Emperors.
Yeah, he says the word like planetary particles or something.
Yeah, so those are Yusei particles, or Yusei gears, rather. And Bruno's like, "Oh, Yusei, are you named after these things?" And he's like, "Yeah, my dad named me." He's like, "Oh, I know your dad. Everyone who's into D-wheels knows Dr. Yusei." As he does this, he opens up a packet of King brand ramen.
Oh yeah.
And the show takes care to show him opening it because it's a plot point later on. Very funny that Jack Atlas has a fucking brand of his own ramen though.
Yeah, I have to presume that they're like the ramen text is like erased from the thing.
Of course.
Because I did not notice that it was a King brand ramen.
Yeah, it just has King all over it. This is where we get some more. It's like jargon and metaphors for the show because they're talking about the planetary gears, the Yusei gear system.
Yeah, there's like a quite extensive like computers montage.
Yeah, Yusei is like, "Oh, well, the center gear represents dual monsters because that's what we all revolve around, and all of the other gears are circling it, which is me and my boys." So the engine is us.
We are all gears and friends. Gears are friends with each other. That's why engines work. You know what? Yeah.
Friendship is a lot like a motorcycle.
Fellows, is it gear to live in a basement garage together?
Is it gear? Pretty gear. What are we, Scouse? I can't remember what the word gear means. I just watched a lot of Beatles movies as a teenager. I do want to shout out the part. Well, because first of all, there's just like, you know, Bruno is the Johann of this episode.
Yes. Because, he's like, the Johann of this show, I think.
Yeah. Him and Yusei just like basically, they just basically start fucking immediately, you know? Like,
they love it.
So in love with each other and only have time for each other. And they have like new relationship disease where they're like, Yusei's two mates, Jack and Crow, are just sitting there like rolling their eyes, being like, oh my God, these guys. And I just want to shout out the little scene in which like Lua and Luca and Aki show up. And then they all start arguing about which of them is Yusei's best friend.
It's funny when they show up for us, because Lua and Luca are like, first of all, I think Crow says, you know, he and Bruno, this has easily surpassed the number of conversations I've had with Yusei. And Lua's like, they're like lovebirds. And Luca says, that's between a man and a woman. Luca! You can't say that. Homophobic.
Luca, homophobic, confirmed.
I can't remember. Is Luca...
Luca's the girl.
Luca's right, the girl right. One.
Luna.
Luca's right. The girl. And then Aki just, like, gets jealous and leaves.
Luna, homophobic.
She's just mad that Bruno is stealing Yusei away from her.
They really are, like, deeply in love.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, you can have bonds with other people, but then all of a sudden when you exhibit, like, an intimate knowledge of Yusei's number one thing. I almost called him Johann again. Bruno is like number one on Yusei's top eight right now.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, he's very Johann coded.
And he's not even a signer.
He's just got blue hair and no pronouns.
He's literally just a guy.
Yeah.
Just a guy. So at the end of the hacking montage, new Johann and Yusei are like, right, we haven't slept for 3 days, let's go to bed.
Right, yeah.
Big shout out. And then while they're asleep, somebody breaks into the friend's basement and steals the computer's design.
And the only reason we're able to find the culprit is because they got hungry and ate some noodles.
Yeah.
Listen, I can deeply relate to like your computer is taking so fucking long to do a process that you have to go have a little snack while it's doing it. Like, I should take my computer to the computer doctor. But listen.
Maybe you should feed your computer some noodles.
Maybe I should feed my computer noodles. But yeah, there's a fingerprint on the like noodle wrapper that this person left in the trash. So they sort of scan the fingerprint and then they hack the dueling FBI.
Yes.
So that they can
this is
the
very
fingerprint.
Funny.
Very
so good. Yeah, and they have 5 minutes. Yusei's like, oh, I'm using NordVPN, today's sponsor, to bounce the signal around so that we're unable to be caught by public security. And, you know, it'd be fucking lame and boring if it was just a password that they needed.
Oh my God.
So they have to do it. They have to. It's a chess puzzle. They have to solve, like, a dual monsters card puzzle in order to get in.
Yeah, I don't know what I would have expected from Yu-Gi-Oh, but, like, it has to have been this. There's nothing else it could have possibly been.
There's nothing else it could have been.
Like,
this is
so... The piano is... the password is you play this melody on the keyboard of a piano. Like, nah, this is just... I love you, Yu-Gi-Oh.
I love Yu-Gi-Oh. So, this duel, it's like... It's like the end game of a duel, right? Basically, there's like some kind of spell effect that you can only attack once. I didn't write down every single bit, but on the opponent's side, it's like antique gear soldier and Yugi's three like colored gadgets.
Yeah.
And that trap card that makes them all form together. And then on your side, you have Tragoedia, which I'm pretty sure Tragoedia is the main villain of the GX manga.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Kind of. So the end game is kind of a GX throwback then.
It's like, yeah, it's like GX versus Duel Monsters, which I think is cute.
Cool.
And yeah, so first of all, Crow is going to try it out. He's like, oh, I get this. He becomes Chibi, which yes, is very cute. I love to see.
So we first we Chibi Crow. I'm not sure. Like, I don't think that they like have to like port themselves into the computer. I think this is just like a little representation of like them being at the computer trying the jewel. But like,
yeah,
extremely good like directorial decision to make them Chibi for this.
They turned him into an NFT. He's a Noah Kaiba now.
Oh no. Help, help.
These are their Dragon Quest avatars or whatever.
Yeah, it's his Gaia Online avatar. Yeah.
Gaia Online, of course.
So Crow ports in and he's basically like, ah, big monster is strong, attack. And Mirror Force is there. So he loses and gets the password wrong.
Yeah. Jack's turn, and then he's like, oh, you idiot, you're not supposed to equip Shooting Starbow on Green Gadget, you're supposed to equip Axe of Despair on Trigodia. And he attacks again, and he forgets about Mirror Force, and he was like, I was just testing to see if they changed the set card.
Yeah, just
very,
like,
very defensive.
He loses in the exact same way that Crow did. And also, we get to see Chibi Jack, which is chef's kiss.
He's nice. Very nice with it. Only 2 minutes left. They only have one more try, and Bruno's like, may I please have a turn? And of course, since Bruno's Yusei's new husband, he lets him.
Yeah. And like, Chibi Bruno comes in. Chibi Bruno's not like as funny as Crow and Jack were, because like, he's just nice. But like, I did, like, where Crow and Jack are like, I'm gonna do this. Like, Chibi Bruno just kind of like stands there for a while and like evaluates the situation, which is like, whoa, that's how he knows what he's doing. Because he spends the first minute of his 2 minutes doing nothing.
He's intaking information like photosynthesis.
Uh-huh. He's thinking.
And he's smart enough to know that you have to basically use every single card. He's like, oh, Antique Gear Soldier prevents traps from flipping, so I use Trigodia's effect to send a card to the graveyard to take control of it. But the level doesn't match, so I play Cost Down, which reduces Elector's level from 6 to 4, so we can discard that and take control of the 4-star Antique Gear Soldier. Which gets rid of Mirror Force, but he can't just attack, because it's not going to do enough damage. And the card called Stronghold Traps on the field, which is like what combines the gadgets.
Yeah.
So, but you need all three gadgets for that to work. If you get rid of one by discarding Seal something to activate Tribute of the Doomed, which removes Green Gadget from play. Stronghold attack is 0. Antique Gear Soldier's powered up and attacks Stronghold, and he wins.
Yay! We got in with 10 seconds to spare.
Yay. And now we have to figure... Now, who on earth could have possibly broke in here and stolen our computer?
I'm so glad that, like, Clown Baby is here and relevant.
It is so... This is, like, the funniest possible guy to have stolen it.
I want to see him duel again very badly.
I think we will.
Yay!
Didn't he duel like Crow last season?
I can't remember. I just remember like he left halfway through the
duel. He dueled Crow and then like pulled a balloon out of his wrist and flew away because he's a literal fucking clown baby. Oh, I love this guy so much.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the clown baby.
Clowns are in, baby.
Yeah, so Jaeger did it. Fuck, he's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy. Thank you, Jaeger. Thank you, Yusei. That is Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah.
We got some good questions this week, though.
Oh,
y'all came through for us, even though it was a clip show. We have some things to discuss.
Yeah.
Nothing on Twitter.
Yeah.
But in Discord, first question comes from Dino Morbin Time. But folks, can we talk about Bruno?
Yes, next question.
That's not my favorite song from Encanto. I like the one that she sings with her sister with the flowers.
Oh, so that's what this talk about Bruno thing is.
Song from Encanto.
I've never seen the movie Encanto, but I just know that that's a song on it.
Uh-huh. You can tell that Lin-Manuel Miranda did the music for it because like every song does the Lin-Manuel
Miranda
thing.
Sounds like a Lin-Manuel Miranda song. Yeah,
where everyone sings their own part together. So it's like cacophonous, but it kind of works together.
I mean, I do enjoy that.
It's good music. I mean, again, I'd rather listen to that than Hamilton. Yeah, Jesus.
Listen, I watched Hamilton the other night because it was like on... I got Disney Plus from a friend for free. So Hamilton was there and I was like, hey, for a laugh, let's watch Hamilton. And then unfortunately, I have to report that it's good. Like it is, it's still good.
I feel like looking at it kind of... like moved away from the kind of critique of it from years ago when it was like really big, I feel like is a more valuable experience.
Yeah, like everything surrounding it is like toxic and trash, but like the thing itself, pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta hand it to them. Pretty good.
Heartbreaking.
I know. The worst person you know.
Makes decent musical.
Makes good musical.
Regrettably, skill and charisma are, and likability and all that, they're not always the same thing.
Yeah. It is, like, Lin is very funny to roast, because, like, he's the worst part of Hamilton. But, like, the actual musical itself, oh, amazing. Great stuff. And then Lin is there, like, just being shit. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question.
From Transmagician Girl Ruby, name some of the best Brunos in media.
Well, obviously.
Let's see.
It's got to be Bruno Bucciarati. He's, like, the best
Bucciarati.
One.
Bucciarati's pretty good.
The only other Bruno I can think of right now is fucking Bruno from the movie Bruno, which scarred me as a child.
Sacha Baron Cohen Bruno. Very bad Bruno. Worst Bruno.
Very bad Bruno.
Bruno Mars counts because he works in media.
Oh, yeah. Bruno Mars. He's fine.
He's fine.
There's Bruno from Pokemon Elite Four, who's a fighting type trainer, who's half his team is like rock types because he's bad at his job.
Yeah.
And I
can't think of any Brunos.
Can't think of any more Brunos.
I mean, we could look it up, but like...
I'm searching Gundam Bruno, because there's probably a Bruno Gundam.
Okay, but Bruno is a normal, like, human name.
I'm looking through...
Oh, there's a character from Turn A called Bruno.
Okay. Any other good Brunos out there? All I can think of is Bruno Bucciarati. Who is the best Bruno?
He's the best one, yeah.
And, well, I guess the Bruno is presumably a character in Kanto.
Yeah, he's their uncle.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him because no one will talk about him. So,
Kirby the Cleric asks, if you could take one Animal Crossing or other life sim DIY kit into the real world with you, which would it be?
Okay, you guys are going to have to explain what an Animal Crossing DIY kit is.
So, in...
Like, I've played the most recent Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
DIYs are just the things that you craft. It's just like the things that you
so
find
just like
in
something like, I could craft.
It's a recipe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, what craftable would you?
The little cards.
The little card.
That you have to
One of the things in Dondoko Island, you can craft a lot of just assets and props, including entire buildings. So, I would bring a smile burger into the real world.
I would craft that gigantic, like, flaming god statue you get at level 50 in Dundoko Island.
Uh-huh.
I would put that in our parking lot.
Yeah, I'm just... Because I didn't really take to Animal Crossing. It's not really my thing. But the one thing that did keep me playing, it was... I was grinding for... So I could make the Gundam. I wanted the Gundam so badly for my island.
Yeah.
So I
just want a Gundam then.
I just want a Gundam. All it would be the Gundam. What I would take.
Gundam I'm changing my answer. It would also be the Gundam.
Okay. Maybe we can build it together.
We can build it together. Yeah. It takes a lot. Takes a while.
Yeah.
Full like size. 30 gold nuggets, I think.
Yeah. It was a lot of like ore, which was very hard to get, which I was really struggling with.
Yeah. We'll pull our resources together and then build a Gundam.
Yeah.
Transmission Girl Ruby also asks, who in the cast is most deserving of the IKEA Trans Shark plushie? Blahash.
Yeah, Blahash.
Not
pronounced like that. Or
no one knows how Blaj is pronounced. It's Blaj. I mean, the Swedish Blaj. Probably do.
That's what Dracula says.
Blaj!
Blaj!
I
want to suck your Blaj.
Jack Atlas does have egg energy, but... I don't think he deserves the plushie.
He's too mean.
He's mean. I think Lua and Luca deserve the plushie.
Yeah, they definitely deserve it.
Because like, they're both little like non-binies.
Mm-hmm. They get to share it.
Yeah, and they can both ride around on it. Because it's alive and can transport you.
Whoa, it's this, that's the... blah. Yeah, the fucking... the Dark Signer who had the orca. It summons a giant evil Blahash instead.
Trans rights. Let trans people have hobbies. You know, I marched in the Belfast Pride Parade like last year, and there was like an IKEA like little section. in it. So IKEA were marching in because there's fucking loads of, like, Tesco's are in the Pride Parade. You know, shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the IKEA...
That's what I think of LGBTQ plus rights.
And the IKEA float didn't bring the blodges.
Oh.
And they fucking didn't do it.
Well, I'm going to a birthday party. I'm going to an IKEA birthday party next week, so I'll be sure to keep an eye out.
Hang on. Okay, tell Max, I'm looking directly into your eyes. Tell me what you mean by an IKEA birthday party.
It's one of our friends' birthdays next week, and we're just going to go to IKEA.
To the restaurant? To the showroom?
Yeah, eat some meatballs, walk around, hang out.
Okay. Sure.
Oh my god.
You're just like, walk around IKEA?
No, yeah, me and Chrissy go to IKEA, like, as an outing.
Yeah, it's fun. That's what we're going to do. It's like a birthday thing.
I would like to go to an IKEA.
Maybe we'll get
someday.
Some furniture. Oh. I'll have to see. I might need more. I might need like another shelf or something. Who knows?
That's secret.
Maybe we'll get a blage. Excuse me. Shadow Sandbag asks, oh, my voice is starting to go now.
Sorry, I was lost in the reverie of contemplating IKEA birthday parties.
You're thinking about Shark.
Yeah.
What do you think a Nintendo 5DS would be like?
Well, let me think.
What's the fifth dimension? First of all, before we can get there, what's the fourth dimension?
Time.
I don't know, time.
Okay, all right, so you have your 3D slider, you have time.
And the fifth dimension is just dimensions, like dimensional shifting.
Is it like smell?
I think the fifth dimension, based on things I have heard, I'm pretty sure it's like being really, really, really smart and knowing all the right moves and being good at chess or something.
Okay. I just think...
I still think it's smell.
A Nintendo so it would be like, 5Ds would just have 5 screens.
Uh-huh. That would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I
still like my idea that it has smell-o-vision.
Portable goon cave.
You turn the... Okay. All right. Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't want to smell that.
No.
I don't want to smell
I just saw...
that.
That's the first thing I thought of when I thought of a device with 5 screens.
That's not like stock trading.
I just think you have a screen and then you can fold another screen like off of the top and another screen off the bottom and another screen off the left and another screen off the right and there's 5 screens.
Yeah.
It becomes like a big throwing star.
Yes.
It's like a huge, it's like an unfoldable playable shuriken.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god. I just remembered my friend gave me a Naruto headband today.
Oh my god.
That, like, he found in his house when he was, like, clearing out, and which
village?
Fucking hidden leaf.
Okay. That's, like, the basic answer.
Yeah, listen, it's a basic-ass bitch Naruto headband from, like, 2008, but it's mine, and I'm very excited about this.
I remember seeing kids having their own Naruto headbands when I was, like, 10 or whatever, and thinking it was the coolest thing in the world.
It is.
And you were right.
Still is. It's like Akatsuki robes. Akatsuki robes are still fucking sick.
Yeah. I did notice this. Like, because when we went to NekoCon, I noticed that a lot of people, like, walking around in Akatsuki robes don't see that. You do not see that at British conventions.
Oh, it's American.
You see, like,
phenomenon.
The occasional one, but it's just, like, not a thing. Really sad.
Yeah. Where America as a country, for all its faults, really understands how cool Itachi Uchiha is.
Yeah.
It's like the one thing we have up on other ones.
Yeah.
Kethu Teradine asks, what is your incriminating food of choice while waiting to do crime?
Food of choice while waiting. Okay, well, whenever I am waiting for my computer to load very basic, simple tasks and I have to go get a snack, it's just toast. Really, just toast and a cup of tea.
Simple.
And that my fingerprints would be found on the tea mug. And it would be my podcasting tea mug.
Right, so if I'm waiting to do crime, I want something that I can consume without, you know, leaving crumbs or signs of my presence. Nothing that gets stuck to my fingers. I'm thinking, like... something that's bite size, like a senbei or some M&Ms.
That's like the crunchiest thing you can imagine, though. That's gonna leave crumbs everywhere.
Okay, that's the incriminating part of the food. Like Dan's thought of like, oh, I must leave no traces, but hasn't considered like the noisiness of the sign.
Oh, you know what's soft?
Incriminating food of choice.
You know what's soft? Probably like a nice mochi. Ooh. With some tea.
Mm. Ooh, pretty
yeah. Good. I would eat a gyro and just leave so much tzatziki sauce everywhere. Uh-huh. Honestly, it'd come to the point where you wouldn't be able to find me because it would just cover all my fingerprints. It'd just be just globs of it.
The fingerprints are too saucy to be like sent to the FBI.
Exactly. Pretty, yeah, they're going to be like, good. Oh, we analyzed the fingerprint you sent. It is actually an imprint of fucking lamb carved off the thing.
But the incriminating part is this just like a little trail of tzatziki sauce leading to yours.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, yeah. I stepped in it, so it's like I'm leaving tzatziki footprints everywhere. A little footprint. It's like, do you know how at the end of Final Fantasy Remake, how you have to follow like the Genova goop to find Sephiroth?
I mean, no, but I'll get there in the Chip and Ironicus.
I'll play that someday.
It's that, but it's tzatziki.
Whenever I finally get to that end of the game, I'm going to imagine it's tzatziki.
Yeah, it's a lot funnier that way.
Yeah, pretty good.
Dark Arm Dad, Tequila Zaku asks, favorite clip show episode?
Oh, fuck, wasn't there like a really good one in like GX that we watched?
I don't remember. That's the problem. I don't remember, and I'll just read the next part of the question, which is generally, do you like clip shows with a gimmick or ones that are 100% skippable? I don't remember clip shows, but I would rather them have a gimmick because when I watch a show, like, I don't want to skip episodes. I want to be able to say I've watched every single episode of a show, even if it's like a useless clip show.
We
so,
know this about you.
Yeah, I gotta do it. You and it's like, yeah, so if I'm going to spend time watching it, I want it to at least have like a little bit of new content for me that I can like get something new out of it.
Because generally the Yu-Gi-Oh! Ones like have gimmicks.
Right, yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh! Does it pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah.
Like, we're traveling to point A to point B, or someone's suddenly got amnesia.
Jesus, I forgot about the amnesia.
Chaz just fucking showing up to talk about random shit, trying to solve a mystery.
I like when it's a couple of characters who have like basically nothing to do with the plot, and they're just there to like talk about what the main characters are doing, like while they like, stalk them or stake them out or whatever.
That's a pretty good one.
In
the Outer Limits, they have clip show episodes. I've watched the '90s Outer Limits with some friends over on the HKIP server, and something that the Outer Limits will sometimes have a clip show episode that tries to string a bunch of different like previous episodes plots into like one overarching story. Like it's a very retroactive decision, but it fucking whips ass every time. Or it doesn't always whip ass, but there's some fun shit. Like they have like a time traveler who's like a fucked up version of the Doctor. That guy rules. There's like some apocalypse stuff. There's like government agents. It's all good shit. Also, shout out to a parody that uses fake clips. Like, I hate to bring up Rick and Morty, but one episode that I liked was a clip show episode that is fake clips because there's like these weird mimic aliens trying to like trick them.
Oh god, yeah. You don't gotta hand it to them. I would love a clip show that is not a clip show.
just stuff that never happened.
Terrible news that the worst person you know made a good clip show.
Yeah. Mm. Oh man. That's our questions.
Sometimes things that are bad are good, folks.
Yeah,
we actually, this is a pretty good podcast episode, all things considered.
Yeah, and you know what's good, folks?
What's good?
I just remembered we don't read the Patreon until like the actual end of the episode, so
I'm
just gonna reverse that segue.
We do it.
King, because I'm doing miles backwards.
Yeah, no, we do the show plugs before we do our personal plugs, so if you want to do the show plugs now, Sarah, you can do the Patreon.
Alright, I have to remember where this show can be found on the internet, because I haven't been here in a very long time. Hello, you can find us on Twitter at @PodOfGreedcast, on Tumblr at @PodOfGreed. You can join our Discord if you go to kaiba.online, or I believe still joeywheeler.dog. right. to stellar website URLs that you should be telling all your friends about, because we're so funny. So yeah, come on in, hang out, have a good time. And if you want to have a good time, extra good time in our Discord, you can give us money to make your name a special color. That is one of our Patreon rewards. You can go to patreon.com/potofgreed. Probably, that's probably it.
That's it.
Where you can pay us $1 a month and listen to our special bonus episodes. You can pay us $5 a month to be able to listen in live while we are recording the episodes. You can hear all the stuff we edited out. Or at the $10 a month level, we will send you physical products, which we are working very hard on.
It's going to be good as hell.
It's going to be good as hell.
And Sarah, where can we find you on the internet?
Me, you can find me everywhere at Sarah McCostumes. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, some other stuff, I don't know, where I mostly post about costumes because I haven't podcasted in a very long time because I've been
That's
in
your last name.
The repetitive strain injury factory.
Yeah, very sad.
Popcorn, Dan.
I'm Dan. You can find me in a lot of places. You can find those places at biggerchallenge.card.co. That includes Pot of Greed. Fuck!
Oh, yeah, that's it.
How to create a Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. You're listening to it right now. you can listen to the Sonic Hustle, a Sonic Games and Media podcast. We're going through Sonic Adventure 2. You can listen to Video Games, the Movie, the Podcast. We recorded, and I need to edit, an episode on the Mega Man fan film. You can listen to... Actually, that's all the active stuff right now. I'm looking into future projects, but... those will come another day. In the meantime, though, there's my Tumblr, Bigger Challenge, my co-host, Big Challenges, my Small Saga Let's Play on YouTube. Just look up Let's Play Small Saga and you'll probably find it. You can listen to... That's it. That's me.
And I'm on Twitter at MaxiBajillion. I'm on Tumblr at MaxiBajillion as well. My shows are on hiatus, but if you want to listen to them anyway, they are Wow Cool Robot about Gundam, Slappers Only about video game music, and Nevermind the Trollocs about Amazon's Wheel of Time. And that's us. That's our whole damn show.
You know who also pays for this show? Our $5 patrons. Max, take it away.
Thank you. The very special end of episode. Thank you to Cypress, Emery, Joel, Thomas, Morg, Haunting the Morg, Riley Hopkins, Shadow Sandbag, and Sylvia Crow.
Yay.
Yay.
We did it.
I am going to lay myself face up because the chair that I was sitting on collapsed and I don't have the strength of will to move. But I will take a little sippy of my tea.
I'm going to set myself face down into a bowl of instant ramen. Ouch! Pretty hot.
I set myself face down into my table that just collapsed. I don't want to get paralyzed.
That was a bit.
Peach!
Peach!
Peach!